We're going to take a look at the Holy Spirit. Some people call it the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. I've heard people say all my life, "You got the Holy Ghost?" I'm like, what? Holy Spirit, depending on if you're familiar with church or if you're new to church, when people start talking about ghosts, you're like, crazy. Talk about the Holy Spirit, you're saying, well, you want me to be possessed by somebody? Like, I've seen that in movies, and it's never good. Heads start spinning in circles. People start floating off the floor. No, thank you. Well, what if there was a power that could become a part of your life, so much so that it became the central theme of your life? Is that possible? The answer is yes. We're going to take a look at the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about having a healthy church. Worshiping God is what we focused on, and we talked about how when we worship God and we set Him in our minds where He already is, where He belongs, when we have a healthy understanding, really a right understanding of who God is, that puts us in a position to recognize who I am. When God's up here and I'm down here and I don't try to be up here, when I realize who God is and who I am in a position to give Him the ability to do whatever He wants to do. I say, God, You're in charge. I'm recognizing Your strength in my weakness, but I want You. We can be healthy. That's a good way to look at things. If kids start trying to tell their dads what to do, that's not healthy. None of us have ever experienced our children, and I never did this to my dad, I'm sure. Dad wants it done one way. I think he's wrong. I'm going to do it another. It always turned out great. Rarely. When I recognize Dad knows more than I do, so when Dad asks me to do something because he loves me, it's because he loves me and he wants the best for me. When we recognize who God is and worship Him for what He can do. When we do that, we put Him in the position to give us more power and more strength. I'm from the country. I grew up in the country, so here's how it is. When I was a kid, we had toys. One thing I was never allowed to have was a toy gun, because guns aren't toys. Dad told me, whenever my friends had toy guns, don't you dare point that at somebody. Even if it was a little toy gun, don't you point that at somebody. If you pointed at something, you better be ready to kill it. And after he learned he could trust me, then I got my pellet gun. Don't you ever point that at somebody. And you can only shoot spatsies and starlings and squirrels. Nothing else. And once Dad learned that I only shot spatsies and starlings, except for that one red-winged blackbird I shot one time, and I still remember thinking, Ben, you just disobeyed your dad. That was an awful feeling. It's seared in my mind. I intentionally shot a red-winged blackbird, and I knew that Dad told me not to. I'll never forget that. It was a bad day for Ben Muncy. The spatsies are, I call them, those little gray birds that poop on everything. They're down at the general store all over the place. Sparrows, yeah. Okay, sparrows. And starlings are those black birds that you always see those around. So when Dad realized that Ben is responsible with this pellet gun, then guess what? Ben got a .22. And Ben could go hunting when he, you know, if it's in season. Dad said, all right, here's a .22, showed me how to use it. He was with me a lot. Then he saw I can trust Ben. Then Ben got to go hunting with his .22. Ben's good with a .22. Guess what happens after a while? Dad says, well, son, bought you a shotgun. And I have a 1978, same year I was born, Remington 870 Wingmaster pump, 20 gauge. I'll never get rid of it unless it goes up in a fire. But Dad learned, when Ben is obedient and he recognized my authority and my direction and I can trust him, he gave me more and more flexibility and responsibility, but also, and I can say this, hopefully you understand, he gave me more power. A shotgun has a lot more power than a BB gun. And I carried a lot more power, but I was a lot more responsible with it. You do something wrong with a shotgun, bad things happen. My little sister shot my older sister with a BB gun, and it hurt, but it didn't kill her. So, BB gun, yeah, acted right. Mindy didn't ever get a shotgun for her birthday. When Dad saw, I trust Ben, so I will give him more responsibility. With that responsibility comes greater ability to help or harm people. But he gave me more power. What we're going to look at today is some people in Acts chapter 2 who had spent their time focusing. They were praying, asking God. They had spent the last few years following God, paying close attention to what he had asked to do. They didn't always obey. One time Peter shot a red-winged blackbird. A little bit more severe, though. He denied Jesus 3 times and cursed him. That's pretty bad. But Jesus said, all right, you're going to do it. I'm still going to give you more responsibility and more power. And in Acts chapter 2, we see God sending the power of his Spirit to these people. That happened on Pentecost. Why is Pentecost important? Well, back in the day, we talk about this a lot because a lot of the Hebrew festivals revolve around the early Jews. When the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, you know, they were Pharaoh's slaves. Moses came, brought them out of Egypt. That day, where the day before they were brought out, is called Passover, because the angel of death passed over the Israelites because they obeyed God. Well, 50 days from that day, they got to Mount Sinai, and God delivered his word of life to Moses, said, take these down to my children. This is how they will have life. The Ten Commandments. So 50 days after the Passover, Moses received the Ten Commandments. Pentecost is what they call that. The word P-E-N-T, that stands for 5. So 50 days after that happened. That's where we get the original term for Pentecost. We were delivered from freedom, and then God gave us these directions so that we can have the life he had planned for us. He gave us life. That's pretty cool. Once you start seeing that, you think, oh, well, these things in the New Testament aren't random events either. Because what happened was Jesus was crucified on the day he died, that Friday. And then 50 days after that, we come to Pentecost. Jesus was killed on Passover. 50 days later, we come to the Israelites, and they're in the upper room, is what they called it, 120 of them praying, asking God for this promise that he'd made to them. God said, I'm going to send you my power and my strength. I'm going to send someone to help you do this. So the Israelites, they were Jews, they were upstairs praying, and we come to Acts chapter 2. So if you have a minute, if you could stand, of course you have a minute, you're here. If you could stand, we're going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 together. And then we're going to talk about it. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as a fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. There it is. That's what we're going to talk about today. Let's ask God to help us make sense out of it. Thank you, God, for your instructions and your direction, and thank you for your promises of hope. Help us to understand what you have for us today. You've given it to us, and we believe that you can make it apply to each and every one of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we say thank you. Amen. So we kind of have an understanding of what Pentecost is and why it's important. Now, how this fits into having a healthy church, there are a few things that happened here in Acts that were, you know, we like to have formulas. Like, if I do this, then this will happen. And if I do this, then this will happen. And I was reading through this and saw, you know, they did worship God. They came together every day. They ate together every day. They went to the temple every day. Like all these things that happened. And then I was thinking about, well, maybe I should have a message on fellowship because that's the key to having the power of God in your life. And then I thought, Ben, you knucklehead, you're missing the whole point. That came after. But what the key was is they became filled with the life-giving breath of God, the power of God. These were possible because of that. Now, there were one or two people, and we know this, but there were, in the Old Testament, there were one or two people at a time that would get the power of God in their lives. We call them prophets. So the Israelites were doing things right or wrong, a lot of times wrong. God would send them a prophet, and he would take his power and his presence and fill this person up and say, all right, I'm going to use you to go redirect my people back to me. Think of Elijah, Elisha, Samson had the power of God. He didn't use it quite right. Saul, first king of Israel, he was filled with the presence of God and didn't use it quite right. David was, and he led the Israelites. So there are a bunch of examples of these people who God filled with his presence, but it was usually one or two people at a time. Then we come to Acts here and we see, well, he did it to everybody. That's what I'm talking about. I want to be a part of that. Jesus said, I am going to make my presence available to everyone. Those people there and us now. So what I want to remind myself is that those things that we see reading in the Old Testament and the New Testament that the disciples did, and we think, wow, that was really cool. What if? Or I wish I could. Jesus said, I've done great things, but he was talking to the disciples. He said, you guys are going to do things that when you look at it, you're going to think that's even cooler than what Jesus did. He said that because he sent us his power. Now, how can I tell if I have the Spirit of God in me? Well, that's a good question. I'm going to talk about this positively. When I did some, you know, I do what I do on my computer, like what do people see when they Google this? So I Googled Pentecost, and I went on YouTube. I was looking for messages about Pentecost Sunday. What came up were people from multiple denominations, so I'm not talking about anyone in particular. We have our own faults too. But people who came up and talking about, well, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to do this. Or if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to do this. And such a charged subject. I spent a few years of my life having people tell me that you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is not in you unless, and then they had their list of criteria. And then they tried to coach me. I'm a little bit stubborn, so I didn't play along. I'm like, no. They tried to coach me into being filled with the Spirit, Holy Ghost. I'm stubborn, so I don't play along if I don't think it's right. I came across some of that again today, and it, you know, brought up some of those emotions of people trying to make me appear outwardly, like to put on the act of God's presence being inside of me. But what we see with the people in the upper room is when God's Spirit fell on them, there was no acting involved. Nobody had to coach them on what to say. I'll leave it at that. Nobody had to coach them on what to say. It says that the Holy Spirit fell on them and they began speaking in other tongues, meaning literally other languages. And when they were sitting in the upper room speaking in other languages, people outside from different areas and regions who spoke different languages started listening and said, hey, I'm in Jerusalem and I hear my language from my home. How in the world did this happen? Well, the power of God came on them and gave them the ability to say things that they didn't understand or they didn't even know what they were saying, but touched the hearts of people around them. That's how that happened. And because of that, Peter stood up and said, well, this same God who's done this for us, whom you killed, but is now back to life, will forgive you. And so the question is, how can I get that? Now, I don't want the big flashy show, because sometimes that's what people pursue. They think, if I can do certain things and look a certain way, then other people will look at me and say, well, he has the Holy Spirit. And really, my biggest desire isn't for other people to look at me and say, well, Ben has the Holy Spirit. Wow, he's really cool. He can string a line of words together, and I have no idea what he's talking about. Must be God. Been there, done that. Somebody tried to give me the t-shirt. I said, no, thank you. Other people spend time thinking, well, if I can go up and talk to people, if I try to read their mind and tell them where they are in their life, then they'll think that I have the Holy Spirit. And what we see is the disciples didn't have to pretend or try to talk themselves into anything. It said God came to them. And what is life like when God's Spirit is in me? And these are from Scripture, and we'll get to them in just a minute. Well, let's take a look at how I talk to my wife, my children, my parents, my brother, and my sister. When I go to work and people see a real person that's not perfect, but has God's love and forgiveness. When I'm at the grocery store and they have 24 lines and only three are open, what in the world is wrong with these people? I'm at the restaurant and my Coke has been empty for 3 minutes. Hello? What kind of tip do you think you're getting? When I come into different situations and this urge starts swelling up in me, is that the Holy Spirit? Is that the life of God, or is that something else? We can take time to say, all right, what does God want for me? With God's power, and sometimes when we start getting those urges, we have to stop and say, God, this is not you. I want your power to come out of me in this situation. And it's funny how things start changing in a matter of seconds. I'm not kidding you. If you haven't tried it, try it sometime. What tools will God give us if we do have the power of the Holy Spirit? So if I have it, what should my life be like? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gives us some examples. 1 through 13. Verses 1 through 13. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13 is called the love chapter. If you want to know about love, go to chapter 13, which he says is the epitome. That's like the goal of everything we do in Christianity, is for us to have the love of God in us. The chapter before that, he's talking about the things that get us there when we have the Spirit of God. And he says, when we do have the Spirit of God, God gives us these tools. He gives us the tool of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, working miracles, prophesying, discerning, speaking in other languages, and interpreting other languages. That's what it says. And it's pretty interesting when you look at that 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is, it's such a touchy subject for me, because I've heard so many people try to elevate themselves and put other people down with this. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians that when you ask God to fill you with His Spirit, He will give you a tool. He doesn't necessarily give you all the tools. He doesn't give us all the same tools. That's why some people latch on to the speaking in tongues, because it's something that I can do and look like I have. You can't fake discernment, really. Some people try to play games. But when God talks to you like he talked to the prophet who came to David and said, you have committed adultery, God knows about it. You can't fake that with somebody. God told him, this is what's happening, when the details. He says, when you're filled with the Spirit, God gives you these tools. You don't get all of them. He says in verse 4 of that of 1 Corinthians 12, there are a variety of gifts, but one Spirit. So what I'm thinking is, okay, so maybe I look at somebody else and I see, wow, they must have God's Spirit in them because they are so wise. Wisdom is a gift from God. Or I look at somebody else and I see, man, every time they pray for somebody, it seems like that person is healed or whatever they're praying about works out. God could have given them the gift of healing. Wish I could be like that. It seems like I can't ever pull anything over on this person. Like, they always know my business. How in the world can they look at me and see what's going on in my life? There are people in this room that can do that. That is a gift from God, from His Holy Spirit. So I look at other people and say, wow, I wish I could do that. Because it's cool. I wish God would give me a gift. Well, maybe He has, but you've spent so much time looking at other people's gifts you haven't taken. All right, God, what have you given me? Because God promised us, and I have, there are scriptures that go along with us, but God promised, and Paul says, if you ask Jesus into your life and you say, Jesus is Lord, the only way you can do that is the Spirit of God in you acknowledging, to come to the place where you realize, I need Jesus, and He's the only one I need. That is the power of God working in your life. So for you to be able to say, Jesus is Lord of my life, you have the Spirit of God with you. Which is kind of different than some people teach, because it's not as all cool. Well, where's the flash in that? We can take assurance, and I can take assurance in knowing that if I have come to the place in my life where I've said, Jesus, you are my number one priority. You are the Lord of the universe. That is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, there must be the Holy Spirit in my life. Well, that's good news. Yes. But why can't I string together some words? Or why can't I read people's mail? Maybe that's not your gift. Maybe God has given you something else, and He wants you to take a minute to say, all right, what have I given you? Because there are some people in this church that when you talk to them, every time you talk to them about something going on, it's, well, God will take care of it. Why can't I think like that? That's the gift of faith. That's one of the spiritual gifts. Sometimes people just have a knack for learning other languages. Like, they can do it like crazy. That's a gift. So they can reach other people. Sometimes it's, you know, como esta. And sometimes it's, hey, what's up? Which for some of us is a different language. God gives us these abilities. And so what I don't want to do is look at other people's gifts and say, well, I must not have the Holy Spirit because I don't have that. God, if He is the Lord of my life, has given me a gift. How can I use what God's given me? Well, let's see. There are some signs that I can take and see, well, is God's Spirit in me? Galatians chapter 5 says, if God can take an unloving person and teach him how to love, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. If He can take a sad person and give her joy, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. How about a stressed person who learns how to have peace? Or an impatient person who is now patient? Or a jerk and teach him how to be kind? How about a selfish person who knows now how to be good to others? Or a wandering heart and teach that person how to be faithful? How about a harsh person who learns how to be gentle? Or an impulsive person who now knows self-control? Galatians chapter 5 tells us these are the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. This is evidence that God is working in me. And the reason it's important to know this is because I don't want to diminish God's ability in my life, thinking that, well, I can't because I don't have anything going on and nothing about me is special. Because I've realized when I recognize I have a really good tool, I start seeing more ways to use it. If I don't think I have anything to work with, I don't look. But when I get new tools, if I go get something, what starts going through my head? All right, now how can I use this? Somebody shows me something cool and says, here, I've got this for you. I'm like, oh, great, I never had one of these. How can I use it? When we see that God's Spirit is working through us, and maybe we were one of those impatient people who is now patient, when I recognize God's Spirit's working in me, I'm like, all right, great, now how can I use this? Give God credit for what He's doing. But also realize that that same power that filled the disciples in that upper room, I have access to that. So, going to wrap it up here. I have a lot going through my head. It's a big topic. I probably should have this in two or three messages. We're getting a snapshot of it today. God's will is for each one of us to say, if I don't have you in my life, I want you. Once I have God in my life, he says, I'm going to give you a power. That sounds crazy, but that's what he says. I'm going to give you the ability, I'm going to give you tools to go out into your environment and have a positive impact on people around you. My dad said, as I watch you handle what I give you, I'm going to give you more and more. God says, I'm going to give this to you. And the Bible talks about God giving us things. He entrusts things to us, builds us up. Paul says, you once were on milk, now you should be ready for the meat. There's a progression. So I don't expect, and I hope God isn't foolish enough to give me all of the powers of the universe, because I can't handle it. Or all of the gifts of the Spirit, because I probably can't handle it. But as God gives me things, am I responsible and can I show him, hey, you can trust me with this and I'm going to use it? That's what he wants for us. He has his power available to us. What has he gifted me with and how can I use that? If this morning you say, you know what, I don't have that or I don't feel like I have that, my first question is, have you ever asked God? Let me back up. Right now, can you say, God is the first priority in my life. I've asked him, forgive me, and I want him to be the Lord of my life. If the answer is no, that's where we start. Let's start there. If the answer is yes, but I don't feel like I'm very special. Well, dig in. It's right here. I didn't make any of this up. It's in the Bible. So if you think, God, I know you're in my life, but I don't feel you, I would encourage you to dig. It's here. Everything I've said today came out of here. Came out of here. Out of here. So how can I develop what you've given me, God? And it's right here. Take time, ask him to show you, and he will, and then use what he's given you. It's not one of those fancy messages that usually when I start thinking about this, my mind goes to, all right, how have I been falling short? Where do I need to work more? Which is what I like to hear. Sometimes I like patted on the back, but other times I like guided to say, all right, here's where you are. Here's where your next step is. This is where you need to go now. Because I know once I take that next step, I'm further along than I was. And that's our goal, is to get further along our relationship with God than we were before. This is one of those next step messages where, you know, I might not get the warm fuzzies, but I know that when I obey God and I ask him to show me, he will. So what we're going to do, Beth's going to come and play Come Holy Spirit, I Need You. And as she's doing that, if you think today would be the day for you to say, you know what, God, I want you in my life, you can do that today. If today's a day where you say, I know you're in my life, but I want to gain access, I want you to show me the direction you want me to go, today can be the day to do that. Is that? Yes. Thank you. Part of that is that power of the Holy Spirit. We talked, Sue said earlier, when the lady came to Jesus and touched his garment, he said, power went out from me. Jesus has the power to heal. It's one of those gifts. Maxine has asked that we anoint her and pray for her healing. And we're going to do that because we believe that God has the power to heal. So she's going to come, and if there are a couple of the ladies that believe God has the power to heal, that want to come and pray with her when we anoint her, that's great. If you want to come and bring whatever need you have, bring that to the altar this morning. We'd be happy to pray with you too. Stand up if you want, or if you want to kneel, that's fine. Okay. There's nothing magical about this oil, but the Bible Bible says, if some of you are sick, gather the elders around, anoint their head with oil, meaning ask God to clean them. That's what he's saying. Take this oil they used to clean and ask God to clean them. So we're going to do that this morning for Maxine. Thank you, God, this morning for Maxine. We thank you for her faith in your ability to heal. And we ask that you would use her as she's going through treatments and as she's seeing doctors. We know that you will use her in her strength to reach the people around her. And we ask that you would take that same power and touch her life with it, so you would bring healing to her body. We believe you can do it, and we have confidence in your ability. And we ask that you would do that this morning for her. Help us as a church family to be a part of that, so whenever she has a need, we can step in and help. Help us to use our strengths and our gifts to help our friends and our brothers and sisters as they need you. We believe that you will do that. You raised Jesus from the dead, so fixing bodies shouldn't be any problem. We've seen you do it before, and we know that you continue to do that. We believe this in the name of Jesus. We say thank you and amen. God, we will continue to pray for you. If you as a church wouldn't mind, you can stand for a minute. We're going to pray. If there's a need that you want to bring to the altar, you can do that. After we're done praying, you are welcome to go. If people are still praying, I just ask that you do it quietly, but thank you, God, for giving us the knowledge that you've given us in the Bible. And I know that the more we commit to studying, the more you show us. You've given it all to us. And I know sometimes with me, I feel like you're just saying, how committed are you to learning? And the more I try to learn, the more you say, there you go, keep going. I ask this morning that regarding your Holy Spirit, that you would continue to give that to us. We believe that you have given your power in our lives. And whatever Satan tries to tell us is a lie. I know that you have good plans for us, and you want each one of us to be useful to the people around us. So even for those of us who think that we have nothing to offer, that's a lie, because you live in us. I ask that you'd help us to see your power through your Holy Spirit, what you have planned for us. As a church, a unified body, we know you have a plan for us, and you can use your Spirit and the different strengths that are all in here to reach out to the people around us so they can say, like we say, that you are Lord, and we can have the life starting now that you have planned for us. Show us what you want us to know, and we will commit to doing our best to becoming who you want us to be. So in the name of Jesus, we say thank you. Amen. Hope you all have a good week, and we will see you on Wednesday.